I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
You and I have known each other now for a long time. In fact, the longest relationship of our two countries that any president and president has had. And that's, to me, an honor. We've had a fantastic relationship. We've gotten along. When there were difficulties, we worked it out. I would call you and you would call me. And whenever we had a problem, people don't know, whenever we had a problem, we worked it out very quickly. We're going to have a fantastic future together. Such respect for China, the job you've done. You're a great leader. I say it to everybody, you're a great leader. So I really look very much forward to our discussion. It's a big discussion. There are those that say this is maybe the biggest summit ever. They can never remember anything like it. It's, I can say in the United States, it's people aren't talking about anything else. But it's an honor to be with you. It's an honor to be your friend. And the relationship between China and the USA is going to be better than ever before. Thank you very much.
Well, those are most complimentary remarks. Very courteous, as in the style of the Chinese like and their culture. But under the words, there's a lot of tension. You recall that President Nixon in 1972 became the first U.S. president to visit Beijing. Now, this is Trump's second visit, and he invited Premier Xi to join him at the White House this coming September. They're doing everything they can to try to make things peaceful between us and China. But a lot of folks are going to come out and say, oh, he's selling us out to China. He's not selling us out. He's playing the role as he needs at that point, polite, restrained, and thankful for the invite and a chance to have dialogue. And when you're talking, normally you're not shooting at each other. Normally. We're not talking about Iran, we're talking about China. And China has a bigger picture in mind than even China thinks it has. And of course, China is anxiously awaiting to see what happens with Iran. I'm sure that is one of the talking points that they've been going over, along with trade and everything else. We'll be getting into all of that as we move forward. And then there's the issue with Taiwan. That issue has been a consistent point of contention, and it remains that way. Will there be any change, any shift in the U.S. attitude, policy, future, even a hint, a wink, wink? We're going to break a lot of it out for you, and I'll remind you right now, tomorrow, I've already booked Gordon Chang, a foremost China expert, to be with us on our first hour because he can give us a clear picture of what was or was not achieved, at least from what has been released to the public, once these talks finish. Gordon Chang joining us tomorrow. Welcome to hour number one, Larry Connors, USA, where you get news, analysis, opinion, and education. You leave every hour with more information than you have as you begin listening that hour. I promise you that. And in our next hour, Missouri Senator Hawley talking to a former whistleblower about the COVID cover-up and how it continues. And Hawley raises a question. They're still lying to us. You'll want to hear that coming up later. And of course, the scare over hantavirus is being replicated over and over within Democrat circles. This might be a reason to maybe hold off elections, change elections. I don't think so. And also going to bring to your point that we have a doctor that decided to see how AI would handle medical questions. very interesting in the piece he wrote. I will share that with you coming up later. Later in this hour, the latest on the Iran escalation and some actions taking place right now between the Houthi rebels and Iran. And Iran apparently did allow a Chinese ship to sail unassaulted through the Strait of Hormuz, while at the same time they sent swarms out to attack other boats and taking over one. The U.S. Navy is no longer escorting the ships through the strait. But we are enforcing the blockade. We moved farther back, and our big blockade issue, nothing enters or leaves the Iranian port. That's going to be interesting, see, if this Chinese ship, if the ship taken over by the Iranian Revolutionary Guard actually gets to port. We'll see. And of course, now, as you look at what is happening, again, this monumental meeting, you cannot deny the importance and the value of it between Chinese Premier Xi and President Trump. Xi issued a statement to his state agency and an additional statement as well. I want you to hear CNN report on that point.
I want to read you a little bit more of the quote that was reported by Chinese state media from Xi Jinping. He said, quote, "Taiwan independence and cross-strait peace are as irreconcilable as fire and water. Safeguarding peace and stability across the Taiwan Strait is the biggest common denominator between China and the U.S." And because they were expecting that kind of language here in Taipei, there was a response very quickly from the Taiwan cabinet spokesperson, Michelle Lee. I'll read you that as well, Sarah. It said, "China's military threat is the sole source of insecurity in the Taiwan Strait and the broader Indo-Pacific region. Continuous enhancement of defense and effective joint deterrence are the most critical factors to ensuring regional security." The reason why they talked about enhancement of defense is because one big concern they have here in Taipei is that behind closed doors, Xi Jinping could ask President Trump to either delay or stall or flat out deny a $14 billion arms sales package that Taiwan's parliament has approved, but it has yet to be approved by President Trump in Washington. It's still in limbo. That would be a major setback for Taiwan if President Trump didn't approve that package quickly, because it would basically indicate that he's willing to negotiate Taiwan's security in exchange for some sort of grand bargain. That was, of course, the big concern that Taiwanese officials expressed in the days and weeks leading up to this meeting.
A grand bargain that the U.S. would reach with China regarding Taiwan? And this polite, respectful, public display by President Trump and by our state officials is one thing. Behind the doors, something different. This is akin, in my view, back to my days in Texas and all across the South, where someone will say something and they reply, although they don't like you at all, they'll say, "Well, God bless your little pea-picking heart." They don't mean it. They're just being polite. But, of course, what's in front of them has to be dealt with. Now, based upon that statement from Xi and what he's expecting is counter to what Trump had said and will say. Michael Pillsbury, the Heritage Association.
This is the first time I've ever heard a Chinese leader in the foreign ministry issue such a severe warning on Taiwan, that if it's not, it's very vague, if it's not handled carefully, then there will be conflict. That's not usually put into the, you know, happy talk at a banquet. Mm-hmm. The American side is totally silent on that issue, mm, on the issue of Taiwan. The other thing that Chinese did is they used a term that's just almost kind of nasty. It's hard to translate. It's called gao huai in Mandarin. Gao huai. Gao means to screw. Huai means bad. I noticed the translation was by the Chinese side, when they put it into English, it was, "Don't mess it up. We must not mess it up." Well, that's not quite as strong as what it sounds like in Mandarin.
In Mandarin is back to Texas. God bless your little pea-picking heart. Don't screw it up. But if they're under the belief that we are going to make acquiesce and bow before China, reverence Taiwan, no. A question raised from NBC to Secretary of State Rubio, and asking specifically about what we're going to be doing. And this issue regarding Rubio and his response is the question to Rubio on us giving U.S. weapons. Would we give U.S. weapons? And of course, then Rubio has to acknowledge, well, we have in the past. But that doesn't mean that's going to be a continuing track. And he's talking about weapons to Taiwan.
Did President Xi request to President Trump not to sell weapons to Taiwan?
Well, that topic has been discussed in the past. It did not feature prominently in today's discussion. We know what their position on that is already. Remember, Congress plays a role in that process as well. And we have sold them weapons in the past. That's existed as recently as December, which they were very upset about. And that's a decision the president gets to make as Congress appropriates and as Congress decides what to do with those topics. We will respond accordingly.
But nothing has changed in the way the U.S. views the relationship with Taiwan. It will defend Taiwan, as has been.
Yeah, U.S. policy on the issue of Taiwan is unchanged as of today and as of the meeting that we had here today. It was raised. They always raise it on their side. We always make clear our position, and we move on to the other topics. We know where they stand, and I think they know where we stand.
Do you think China wants to invade Taiwan?
Well, I think China's preference is probably to have Taiwan willingly, voluntarily join them. In a perfect world, what they would want is some vote or a referendum in Taiwan that agrees to fold in. I think that's what they would prefer. Ultimately, it's featured prominently in President Xi's mandate in the time he's been in office. He's made clear that what they call reunification, that's what they call it, is something that has to happen at some point. We think it would be a terrible mistake to force that through force or anything of that nature. There would be repercussions for that globally, not just from the United States.
Globally, not just the U.S. Now, China, again, in that opening statement, as we were pointing out to you, issued by the Chinese Premier Xi, any mishandling of Taiwan could spark conflict. They're making that very clear. In the meantime, we're still trying to find other ways to have relationships with China, such as trade. And Kentucky Congressman Comer on that point acknowledged that we would like to see more trade, but we still have to see what we come away with. In the meantime, Iranian small boats swarming a tanker, as we said. Still many in the U.S., including three Republicans, are ignoring the Iranian threat.
Every president in the last 20 years has been worried about the Iran nuclear program. Obama did a nuclear deal with them because he was worried about it. Not a good nuclear deal, but he made one. The president reversed it and imposed crippling sanctions and took out Soleimani, who was a threat to the United States. Joe Biden was begging to get back into a nuclear deal with them. The whole world, you know, the French, the Germans, the UK, they imposed new sanctions on Iran last year, snapback sanctions, because of the nuclear threat. The whole world has seen Iran was building up a conventional capability where they would have so many missiles and so many drones that they could overwhelm anybody's defenses. Once they had that, nobody could do anything about their nuclear program, because they would say, if you attack our nuclear program, we will wipe out six countries in the Gulf region and you won't be able to defend against it. You won't have enough patriots, you know, because you get these swarms of drones, these swarms of rockets. They were on the verge, and a year from now, they would have been at that point. The president said that's an intolerable risk.
And let me point out to you, when I say that we have some Republican senators and members of the GOP specifically, we're talking about common names, usual suspects, Alaskan Lisa Murkowski, Maine Susan Collins, Kentucky Senator Rand Paul, They all broke with GOP leadership, trying to advance a Democrat-sponsored War Powers Act resolution. All of this aimed at curbing Donald Trump's military actions in Iran. It failed to pass the measure. Of course, the idea was the enforcing the War Powers Act. And there's still questions about, well, we have ceased firing on them unless they fire on us first. Does that reset the clock? That's another question yet to be resolved. But so many in this nation right now are out of touch with the actual facts of what's happening. And of course, they're always looking for a way to, how do we destroy Trump? And they don't mind in the process if they destroy America. I'm going to give this woman more time than she deserves, but you want to hear what Whoopi Goldberg said.
We have been deballed as a nation, I feel.
Because we are nationist.
I thought my description was
deballed is lovely.
Yes,
I just didn't know
just
if you meant castrated.
Yeah, well, it's the same thing.
Okay.
I don't have them, but I know it's the same thing.
Yeah.
But the idea that no one is in charge freaks me out.
Yeah. I think America still has its basketballs. I just think we have some very struggling leaders right now, and we deserve better.
Sonny Halston weighing in. Well, we have our basketballs. I just gave them probably a bigger audience than they get on The View on a daily basis. All right, I might be exaggerating, but let me tell you, you're more important than their audience. I'll guarantee you that. Coming up, we have some major decisions coming from the Supreme Court as it begins to wrap up its term. And those decisions could be coming down starting next month, in a matter of weeks. We're going to break down some of those decisions. And also, the battle to become the next governor of California. There's a lot of hinky things going on in the race itself between the candidates. And I'm talking about the Democrat candidates. That'll be coming up. Plus, our story behind the story. It was on this date. Israel was recognized as an official state. And do you know the role that Harry Truman played in that issue? Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Another day, must be another roofer in town. And John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing. And the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem, he can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Spring weather has everyone sneezing, even inside their home or building. Instead of saying gazoons height, call Wellington Environmental to perform air tests to determine if mold levels
are too high. Larry Connors.
Height is the same as saying bless you after someone sneezes. The German word meaning wishing you good health. Wellington Environmental can perform air testing that is simple, fast, and can identify issues keeping you from having good health. Wellington does the same for hospitals and nursing homes for indoor concerns. Give them a call. It's simple. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Tell Cindy, I need air sampling. They've seen it all. They can help you. Next time you hear Gesundheit, think Wellington. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington. True comfort is something you should feel every day in your home. It's the quiet of your mornings, the consistency of your indoor temperature, the way your home feels season after season. With Renewal by Anderson, from consultation through installation, everything is handled by one experienced team, built around your home, your schedule. Our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl, built for extreme temperatures. And right now, you can save 20% off your entire project. Plus, take an additional $100 off every window and door, up to $1,000. 20% off the entire project. Flexible financing is available, but you need to call by April 30th. 877-WINDOWS. Renewal by Anderson.com. 877-WINDOWS. Renewal by Anderson.com. It's that time of season when families' businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as support dogs for our brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
This is the start of our interview with Javier Becerra in Highland Park.
By the way, this is a profile piece. This is not a gotcha piece, right?
Well, look, I think these questions are fair. It's in order to learn about you as a candidate.
So long as it's about the profile.
I don't know how you define profile, but I'd like to begin the interview.
The way I describe profile is you talk about all the things that I've done, things I want to do, and along with some tough questions. But not only tough questions.
That's Javier Becerra, a former U.S. Secretary of Health and Human Services, lecturing an interviewer at KTLA. Well, if you're going to do a profile, you can ask some question, but this is not a gotcha-type question. You're not trying to ambush me, right? Well, we're going to do a profile. That includes you have to answer some questions. Well, I don't consider that. He is running to be the governor of California. And we continue to see so much conflict and completely lost approaches from the candidates for governor in California. They don't know really how to play the game. They all know and recognize Newsom is gone. We can blame a lot of things on him because he will not be able to run again. And he's got his sights set on the White House, which, by the way, a new poll showing AOC is actually leading all the candidates named as possible contenders from the Democrats to be president. Now, I don't know that I believe that, but they want to make that clear, that they just want to point that out. But as far as what's going to happen in the state of California, and I feel bad for those that are stuck there. And because there are a lot of Republicans in there and a lot of people that don't want to have anything to do with anything that these guys are doing. But supposedly, according to Alex Marlowe, the Breitbart editor-in-chief, he said the real reason Karen Bass pulled out of the L.A. mayoral debate is because she'd be speaking off the cuff and you're going to get torched by a guy who's way smarter than you. Way more command of the facts. That's reference the Republican candidate for governor of California as they go into this race. And when she said she wasn't going to be there, he said, well, I'm not going to be there because the other people don't make any difference anyway. So now, if they were just going to let him have his time and say what he wanted, that'd be different. But they're not going to do that. So he said, okay, then I will just step aside. I'd mentioned to you earlier we got Supreme Court rulings coming up in a matter of weeks. The 25-26 term will end in June. The last scheduled oral argument was held April 29. We got several cases that are in play, and some of these you need to pay close attention to. One is birthright citizenship. The 14th Amendment states that, quote, all persons born or naturalized in the U.S. and subject to the jurisdiction of are citizens of the U.S. and of the state wherein they reside. This explains why so many Chinese have come into our nation legally on passports, visas, whatever, for a period of time, have their baby, and go back to China. So their baby is also an American citizen. Born of soil, basically. Trump and others are saying we need to get rid of that. Historically, the executive branch interpreted as a right to grant citizenship to babies born even to illegals. Now, Trump changed that on his first day in office with an executive order saying the amendment only applied to children who at least one parent already with U.S. citizenship or lawful permanent residency. Maybe here lawfully, but yet had not become a U.S. citizen. So that's going to be one ruling we'll be watching for on the birthright citizenship. Another one involving girls' sports. Again, this has to do with curbing men who claim to be girls playing in girls' sports. It's the basic transgender issue. It's also an issue involving Monsanto and its herbicide known as Roundup. It's already cost the company millions of dollars following lawsuits because of increased cancer risk, according to the lawsuits. One of them made it to the Supreme Court in April. It could determine how much Monsanto will pay in future lawsuits. One protest against Monsanto is called the People versus the Poison, basically. Then you had Trump's ability to fire Democrats. To fire bureaucrats. They're one and the same in many cases. If you recall, one of the main complaints leveled against Trump in his second administration, he did fire high-level bureaucrats without good reason. They say, well, just because you're president, you can't do that. I think it's like a new boss, in my opinion. It's like a new boss coming into the company. He's going to bring his own team and get everybody else out of the way, especially if he considers you obstructing and defying. But the court again is going to issue a ruling on does Trump and did he have the right to start firing high-level bureaucrats without, quote, good reason. The other is going to involve Fed independence. This would be, again, similar to what we just discussed, but that presidents could not remove high-level officials without cause, and then specifically under the Federal Reserve Act. And this was the case. Federal Reserve Governor Lisa Cook was fired by Trump, attempt to fire anyway. He removed her while citing allegations she committed mortgage fraud. She denied that. I'm not so sure if that ruling is going to really amount to anything or just the decision that she didn't commit fraud. And here's another key point. Definition of election day. These mail-in ballots and what day they're mailed or what day they're received, postmarked and everything else. Trump and the Republican National Committee argue that the practice of bringing in mail-in ballots to be counted after Election Day, as long as they're postmarked on or before that day. They're arguing that violates a federal law that defines Election Day, quote, as the Tuesday next after the first Monday in November. Election Day, one day. Not dozens and certainly not after ballots have been counted, and they think, oh, we're going to need some more to make this candidate viable. And then we have the issue with deportation. The court's most recent oral argument focusing on the Department of Homeland Security terminating deportation protection for thousands of Haitians and Syrians. Under Obama, the department granted that status for Haiti, which was impacted by the 2010 earthquake, and Syria, which has been ongoing political turmoil and armed conflict and continues. The idea here is, at what point do you say, we have the right to deport you? We might have allowed you in on a special need at that point, but this is going to end up affecting something like 350,000 Haitians have temporary protected status, 6,000 Syrians. And then this issue. The IQ you should have to possess in death penalty cases. In 2002, the High Court ruled states could not execute criminals mentally or intellectually disabled. Centered on a convicted killer who received five IQ scores ranging from 72 to 78, all or near the 70-point benchmark Alabama had set. So can you execute someone with their IQ below 70 or even in that range? The Supreme Court will weigh in on whether this requires too much certainty regarding someone's IQ. And to be honest, I'll put it in very candid language. You're too stupid to be killed. But of course, behind that is a bigger issue. Were they mentally competent at what the time they committed it? And mentally competent, I'm not talking about being crazy, but do they have the intelligence? Boy, there's a big, wide-open package there to dive into. We'll see what the High Court has to say about it. Again, they are wrapping up their schedule, and we will start looking for rulings coming out around maybe as early as mid-June on some of these cases. Coming up, the story behind the story. In the state of Israel, effective, it became as a state on this date. And Harry Truman played a role. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I want to share something with you. Cooking a pizza using coal creates an amazing pizza. Only one place to get it, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield. Of course, they offer a wide variety of pasta, but you just visit the website NapoliSTL.com, dine in or take out, and get ready for patio season. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Try it. You can thank me later. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. VincentsJewelers.com. VincentsJewelers.com. True comfort is something you should feel every day in your home. It's the quiet of your mornings, the consistency of your indoor temperature, the way your home feels season after season. With Renewal by Anderson, from consultation through installation, everything is handled by one experienced team, built around your home, your schedule. Our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl, built for extreme temperatures. And right now, you can save 20% off your entire project. Plus, take an additional $100 off every window and door, up to $1,000. 20% off the entire project. Flexible financing is available, but you need to call by April 30th. 877-WINDOWS. Renewal by Anderson.com. 877-WINDOWS. Renewal by Anderson.com. When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-E-R, underlaw.com.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Now, Larry Connors with the story behind the story.
Seventy years after the birth of Christ, the Romans suppressed the Jewish nation. With their temple in Jerusalem destroyed, the Jews became a race of wanderers. Their fate, it seemed, was always to suffer persecution. Persecution which in the 20th century has been more terrible than ever before. But they survived through the strength of their religious hope. The hope that one day their nation would be reborn. In 1948, this hope was realized. A new state, Israel, came into being. Its leader was David Ben-Gurion.
David Ben-Gurion, the head of the Jewish agency at that time, proclaimed the establishment of the State of Israel, this date, 1948. Now, I mentioned earlier that Harry Truman played a role on that same day. We'll give you more detail on it later, but I'll make it very clear to you now that our nation, under President Harry Truman, was the first to recognize Israel as a state and an independent nation on the same day that Ben-Gurion declared it so. Of course, there were going to be wars and battles, many, and conflicts, numerous, and hatred off the scale. You jump from that event of 1948 to 1958.
The creation of the State of Israel has been one of the foremost dramas of the 20th century. In 1958, when Israel celebrated her first 10 years of independence, modern Zionism was not yet 100 years old. Its pioneers were still alive. Men like Ben Zvi, Israel's president, and Ben-Gurion had first come to Palestine when the country was ruled by the Turks. Ben-Gurion had given his whole life to this cause. Everything else took second place to it, including his marriage. The cause became more real in 1917 when Lord Balfour, Britain's foreign secretary, issued a famous declaration favoring the establishment of a Jewish national home in Palestine. Taking over responsibility for Palestine from Turkey, Britain allowed stepped-up Jewish immigration, mostly from Russia and Eastern Europe. But it was not supposed to be at the expense of the Arabs. And the Arabs soon demonstrated their objections.
Yeah, that was the beginning of the direct conflict and battles. There was what they call the Balfour Declaration of 1917, which favored establishing a Jewish national home in Palestine. And President FDR had assured the Arabs in 1945 the U.S. would not intervene without consulting both the Jews and the Arabs in that region. And the British held a colonial mandate for Palestine until May 1948. A Jewish historian picks up the story.
Perhaps the most striking characteristic about Ben-Gurion, from his earliest days to his days as prime minister, was this almost frightening, single-minded determination towards one goal, which was the achievement, the creation of the state of Israel, an independent Jewish state. All his choices, all the strategy and tactics he worked out over the years were designed with that in mind. And at the end, of course, it was World War II and the Holocaust that made it all possible.
Einmal wird unsere Geduld zu Ende sein und dann wird den Juden das freche Lügenmaul gestopft werden.
In the 1930s, Nazi Jew-baiting, fanned by Goebbels' propaganda, produced a new flood of Jews seeking to enter Palestine from Germany. Britain, as the ruling power, wanted the numbers controlled, but curbs of any kind were anathema to Ben-Gurion, and in 1935, he won out over Weizmann, who trusted in British friendship.
Ben-Gurion was a student of power. He set out to acquire political power, consciously, from the day he arrived in Palestine.
As war descended, the Jews entered the darkest period of their history. In Berlin, as the Nazi policy of extermination got underway, the Arab Mufti of Jerusalem became Hitler's ally. For her part, Britain also cultivated the friendship of Arab powers, whose territories were of great strategic importance.
So again, the Brits were also standing in the way of the Jewish state. And again, you heard part of the issue was, all right, if you're going to have it, how many can be allowed? There was going to be a set allotment who could come and settle in the state of Israel. Again, more fighting.
But the war also gave the Jews of Palestine an opportunity. Over 20,000 of them had joined the British Army. Eventually, Britain allowed a Jewish brigade to be formed, which, from its location in Italy, became a means for the secret shipment of arms and immigrants to the coast of Palestine. These moves followed the most momentous decision taken by international Zionism since its foundation. In 1942, when the battle in North Africa was at its height, Ben-Gurion won acceptance for his visionary program, unlimited immigration and the creation of a Jewish state in Palestine. It was a program which could only lead to confrontation with Britain. In Palestine, several secret armies came into being, representing the different political groups within the Zionist movement. One of Ben-Gurion's hardest tasks as leader of the new Israel would be to bring these competing units under a unified command.
And, of course, that's the issue with beginning a new country. We saw that in the beginning of this nation. As we like to think we were unified in separating from the British, the way we went about it, there were dissenting views from time to time. But then you had the end of World War II.
When the war was over, Ben-Gurion's program forced the British into the unenviable role of having to intercept illegal immigrant ships and forcibly return their human cargo to camps in Cyprus. Nazi atrocities were fresh in everyone's minds, and here it seemed were the same pitiable scenes being played out before the eyes of the world.
He was a man who knew how to capitalize on events and how to turn them to his own advantage, how to exploit the British limit on immigration to Palestine after the war, and marshal public opinion. This was a skilled, clever, determined, thoughtful politician manipulating power.
Despite the strong objections of Weizmann and others in the International Zionist Organization, Ben-Gurion was relentless in his policy of active resistance to the British. For the Jews of Palestine, it was a fight for freedom.
Ben-Gurion never authorized terrorism, and he criticized Begin and cohorts for the explosion at the King David. But I think he had to know the impact of terrorism and the fact that it was leading towards the goal he was seeking.
Early in 1947, the British conceded defeat.
But again, it was in 47, November 29, the UN adopted Resolution 181, known as the Partition Resolution, that would divide Great Britain's former Palestinian mandate into Jewish and Arab states. So the move to the UN, and then Truman enters the picture.
Britain's decision transferred the struggle to the United Nations, where the question of the partition of Palestine and the status of Jerusalem now became the central issue. The Arabs bitterly opposed the plan. Ben-Gurion argued for partition, and intense lobbying went on behind the scenes. It later appeared that Weizmann had secretly played a decisive role in influencing President Truman to recognize Jewish claims. In November 1947, the fateful vote was taken.
No. Soviet Union? Yes. United Kingdom? Abstain. The United States? Yes.
The resolution of the Duck Committee for Palestine was adopted by 33 votes, 13 against, 10 abstentions.
In Palestine, the Jews danced for joy, but not Ben-Gurion. I could not dance, he said. I knew that we faced war and that in it we would lose the best of our youth. The Arabs immediately made their feelings known.
That my government does not recognize the validity of this decision. They oppose the creation of a Jewish state in Palestine now or at any future time.
And we have seen what has resulted and continues to this day. There's another prime figure that comes into play in the beginning of the Jewish state. First, she was appointed by Ben-Gurion as a foreign minister. And later, Golda Meir became a prime minister. So yes, there is more to the story behind the story.
USA.
Do you know why I endorse Cafe Napoli? All the locations? Visit any of them and you will quickly appreciate the quality of food, service, atmosphere. So maybe I'll see you at Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli Kirkwood, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C. Or maybe you'll find me at Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Now you know why I endorse Napoli. NapoliSTL.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Now, the end of the story behind the story.
Our quarrel with the Arabs is not a quarrel for a piece of land. It's not for territory. It's not for anything concrete. They just refuse to believe that we have the right to exist at all. Decent people, liberal people, people that are for self-determination, sympathize with Palestinians. Everybody has the right to self-determine except we. We're the only people in the world to whom it is not given the right to for self-determination. We have to be, evidently, minorities all over the world, and we have no right for independence.
Do you ever doubt the correctness of your policy?
No, sir. What do you mean, my policy? Our policy is to keep our people alive and to keep our independence.
Golda Meir, Israel's fourth prime minister. And she spoke often on the issues involving Jews and Palestinians. She argued, I'm a Palestinian myself. I've got a passport from the British Mandate period. And questioned the distinction of a separate Palestinian identity, separate from Jordan. But she also made it clear that we want peace.
We want everybody to be warm in winter. We want everybody to be happy in the world. We want everybody to have a high standard of living. All the good in the world from the depths of our heart to everybody in the world, on condition that we are here. We're also part of the world. This our enemies must know, and this the best of our friends must know. We say this, and I'm not speaking for government. Now I can say I'm speaking for the ordinary man and woman in the street, for every worker in the factory, for every doctor, for every professor. This is the struggle. This is the fight. And everything that makes Israel weaker, we are playing into the hands of the enemy.
She often said, you cannot shake hands with a clenched fist. And she also made it clear that trust yourself, create the kind of self you will be happy to live with all your life. And she pointed out the Jewish people have been the only group denied the right to self-determination. And then she made the statement that has always stood out to me. Peace will come when the Arabs will love their children more than they hate us. Tomorrow will be May 15th. On May 15th, 1972, the shooting of George Wallace, former governor and presidential candidate. That will be our story behind the story tomorrow. Our second hour is yet to come. You want to stick around for that. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
John Beal Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Beal to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF, John Beal. There's only one place you can get pizza cooked over coals, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Of course, Napoli Brothers has a great selection of pasta dishes. Between the pizza and pasta, trust me, you will not leave hungry. Then, a few doors down, Lit Cigar Lounge, a wide variety of quality cigars, each offering a unique smoke. That cigar, some premium whiskey, all you need to do is enjoy. Lit Cigar Lounge and Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta. Chesterfield Valley. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as support dogs for our brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Let's be candid, honest. No out-of-state law firm can represent you better than Under Law. O-N-D-E-R. Hometown roots, attorneys living right here with you and your family. When you suffer an injury because someone else was negligent, Under Law will make sure the other party takes full responsibility. You'll get full compensation, not a backroom deal worked out with some insurance companies. And of course, we're moving into the stormy season. And again, when you have a legitimate claim, you should be properly compensated. Under Law does not toy around with adjusters, investigators, lawyers trained to cheat you of what is rightfully yours. Under Law has already recovered millions for families across Missouri and Illinois. Under wins. Not just a catchy phrase, it's a fact. So I'll repeat it. Under wins. Underlaw.com. O-N-D-E-R. Underlaw.com. Wins.
This is News Talk STL.